Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Daniel, and we're in chapter 9. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
America's in trouble because of this. That blood guiltiness cannot be expunged except by the shedding of blood. And we've got a world right now that's in upheaval. And we don't know what's going to happen, but we know that things are happening. And it could get very ugly very quickly. We're seeing many people on sports that are falling dead right on the courts and on the courses out in the hardest ones, like basketball where you're running hard and soccer where you're running hard. I don't know if you've heard about this, but like four different guys over in Australia dropped dead in the middle of play. Girls and guys playing tennis that have had shots because their hearts have gotten pericarditis and myocarditis. This is the stuff that happens. I mean, the world's right now, you know, being called to an account in some way. And I believe we're looking at some times ahead that could be very, very problematic for us. He says, "You're a dreadful God." You know, God knows how to keep score, doesn't he? He knows how to get our attention. He says, "We have sinned," in verse 5. "We've committed iniquity. We've done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments." Now, you might put a star by this, because this is Daniel actually saying out loud some things that really kind of bring light to our considerations here today. Hitting the mark. You see, the first thing he says is, "We have sinned." If you wanted to use a New Living Translation type feel, not that this is how it's translated there, but they blew up everything and tried to make it as easy to understand as you could because it was written for children. If you use the Living Bible, realize it's a child's Bible and it wasn't meant to be a translation. It's called a paraphrase. And we're just trying to write it for children to understand. Well, if I was going to write this for a child to understand, I would say, "We have missed the mark." Now, years ago, as I pondered this for years, okay, this whole idea of sin, they used to use that in some net sports. When you hit the net, it was a sin, okay? And they used to use that word more readily. Now they just say net. But it's to miss the mark. You don't hit the square that you're supposed to serve in, whatever. It was called a sin in some net games. It means to miss the mark. But I always thought about it. At least these people were aiming at it, you know? I mean, you think sin's not as bad as transgression and iniquity. He mentions them. He says, "We've committed iniquity and done wickedly and we've rebelled." Those are all terrible things. But sin, if they missed the mark, at least they were aiming. No. The problem I've come to understand as the years have unfolded is that sin is not something that happens in isolation. It's something that happens more readily because of other things more deeply rooted in us. What I'm trying to show you is that iniquity is where you start twisting things. When you start twisting the standard and the precepts and manipulating them, it's much more easy to miss the mark because you're not starting right. I mean, it's like if you don't have the proper stance, if you don't have the proper draw on the bow, all of those things that we, you know, tell ourselves that are okay or this is okay or that's not so bad and why not this, if we're starting there, sin is inevitably going to come around the other side. He says, "We've sinned and have committed iniquity." Iniquity is an English word that has the idea of that which is not balanced. Like think of equitable or equal, inequal. Okay, it's that idea. We've allowed ourselves to say, "I'm a good Christian," but we allow ourselves to do things that aren't very Christian. And that creates a problem. And so he says, as a people, I'm looking at our people and I see they have iniquity in there. We as a people have not even hit the mark. Now, if we haven't hit the mark, we have to ask the question, don't we? What is the mark? What is it you're really aiming at? Because right away, if my iniquity has allowed me to say, "Well, God just wants me to be a good person," is that really what he's after? A bunch of good people? No. Because good people can go to hell. Okay, they can. There's a lot of good people. You know, they color within the lines. They do everything fastidiously and morally and accurately. And they're just very conscientious people. Bless their hearts. In fact, some of the hardest people to win to Jesus are moralists and religious people who have very strong convictions about right and wrong, but they're not saved because they don't realize they need to be saved because they've been so good all their lives. In fact, they're pretty proud of being good. So understand that this idea of starting well, iniquity can be, "I think I could be a good person and God will let me in." and that creates sin. There's a whole lot of people in Israel, a whole lot of people in captivity, and they had all kinds of stuff going on in their minds. Daniel was well aware. When it came time to bow down in front of that image that Nebuchadnezzar put together over in chapter 3, I guess it was, what happened? Everybody bowed down, but three. Okay, just three. What were the other guys thinking? Well, you know, I mean, you know, it's just the law said it. I'm going to obey the law. And there's going to be a lot of people, and even our world today, that are going to say, well, I just did what I was told to do. And going to be kind of culpable, perhaps. The Bible says that when the time comes in Matthew 7, many are going to come in that day and say, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And he says, well, Lord, didn't we do many things in your name? Did we do many good things in your name? Look what we did. He's going to say, I never knew you. I didn't know you and not know you. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. He says, you've gotten an unequal something going on here, and it's not my mark. Whatever you were aiming at, it was not the biblical mark. He says, we have sinned. We've missed the mark. We've committed iniquity. Think about the word committed. We've committed to it. We've committed to what was unequal, is the idea. That's why in the book of 1 John, if you read through it, it talks about he that committeth sin. You can kind of see it in the ruminations there. People who commit sins, commit to sin. It's very scary. Why is God dreadful? Because he knows you, and he knows me, and he sees us. And it's a little unnerving. The Bible says, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we need to go back and let it get us down to our core and say, what is right? What is wrong? What is the mark? What is the goal? Where is God trying to get me? He says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But if you keep reading, you find out, he says, then fear hath torment. And he doesn't want you to live in torment. He says, perfect love casts out fear. So now I'm not living in a fearful place. But it's always good as a seasoned saint like Daniel to go back and get on some sackcloth and some fasting and say, Lord, search me, because this is getting real out there. And I want to make sure that my account's current with you. Sometimes it's good to get down and make a short list. People you need to forgive. People you need to let off your hook that have made you bitter and kind of taken away your fire. Maybe get down on your knees and say, Lord, that one sin that's in my life, you know what it is. Cleanse me, search me, know me. Daniel's getting down on his face and he's saying, we've sinned and we've committed iniquity. We've gone after something else. We've done wickedly and we've rebelled. You know, all of those things work together. Iniquity is a byproduct of rebellion. You rebel, you start bending it. You know, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's iniquity. You start saying this is how it is, and I'm doubling down on this. He says iniquity. He says rebellion. He says we've departed from your precepts. That's like transgression. It means going past something, right? If something says no trespassing, you go over it. That's transgressing. You're going over a line you're not supposed to go. He says in verse 6, it says, neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings and our princes and our fathers and to all the people of the land. He's saying they're all guilty. From his perch, he sees it so clearly. The princes, the priests, and the people were all guilty. There's no reason to lay it off on somebody else. Well, I was born, this family was this way, and so therefore it's not my fault. People like to do that today, right? Or our government's a mess, so it's not my fault. How did the government get there, right? But no, it doesn't matter what the government is. Remember that when the worst of the worst times, in the times of the judges, where every man did that which was right in his own eyes, there was a Boaz. There was a Ruth. There was a Naomi. And they weren't allowing it to get on them. And as they say in the book of Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we try to do that. When it starts encroaching upon you, it's time to go to your closet. Begin to confess who you know God to be, what you know about this world and how it is, and begin to really pour out and say, God, something, something. How do you hit the mark? He says in verse 7, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of face. When I read that, I think in terms of how Daniel was a good man, but when he would have a conversation with any of his brethren of the Israelites, it would be confusion. You couldn't even talk because nobody had an opinion. Nobody knew what to believe, what to think. Daniel knew. He was just totally in connection with God and took his stand and wouldn't defile himself with the king's meat. And he had lived a straight, narrow life all of his life. And so he was really all tuned up. So when he came around the people, there wasn't much to talk about. Confusion of faith. We're feeling that today. It's kind of a new thing, really. I mean, you've always had people who were looking at each other and had disagreements, but this is a whole new level here in America, right? Hard to have a conversation. People worry about their feelings getting hurt or whatever, but confusion of faith. But to him belongs righteousness. And if righteousness belongs to us, we should be able to have an ability to be one in connection with him, him being the head and we being the body. He says, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of face, as at this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are afar throughout all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. They were constantly pushing the envelope. Happened right out of the gate. Saul was a mess. David was doing well for a minute, but then he stumbled badly, and he was never really happy about being the king anymore. And Solomon, man, he polluted the whole landscape with all of the false gods of their day. And you begin to realize these trespasses were not small. They were chronic. They happened, and then they were compounded as years went by. You would find in the Kings only three or four times where it says not only was there some kind of revival in the land, but they put the Sodomites out. That was like, boy, this king, he cut to the bone. You know, we live in a day where the reason we have an abortion problem is because we have an immorality problem. The vast majority are people who are out there living an immoral life and just wanting their immorality, and they want to protect it. And the Supreme Court said health could be just your mental distress. No, there was always that understanding that one had to behave before times of the 50s and so forth with birth control. But now it's like all bets are off, and now we have a real sin problem in America. And it's not just abortion. It's immorality. And it's hurting the family, it's hurting the children, and it's hurting the individuals. And that's why the Bible says God hates all of this stuff. It's not because he hates people having fun, quote unquote. He made a place for that. It's a righteous place. It's a place that he defines as the safe place for all things that God gives us richly to enjoy. Now he says, because of the trespass that they have trespassed against you, we have confusion of face. So you see Daniel, he's feeling that confusion of face too. Now, fascinating thing about Daniel is that we said he was a righteous man, but he was a Jewish person. And the Jewish people were on the ropes. They were in the penalty box. You know, so because they were such a mess, even Daniel felt implicated. You see? And just because something goes sideways in the world of religion out there doesn't mean everybody in the world of religion is bad, but it sure makes us feel like we are. And the world's got kind of a bad view of religious endeavor and always raising an eyebrow or whatever. And people even say, well, I used to go to church, I just don't like organized religion. And I'm like, you can like or not like whatever you want, but if you're going to read the Bible, it talks about church and it talks about the bride of Christ. It talks about being members of one body. You go play your games, but that's called iniquity. You're changing the rules. God's rules are clear. Just do it His way. You're not going to be here forever, and you may not understand it, but just one foot in front of the other. Do the right thing as best you know how, and don't try to be placing yourself over it, because that can be problematic for you, and it won't end well in His presence when you try to explain to Him how you figured it all out. Because, you know, greater minds than yours and mine have wrestled with some of these issues. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.